Today on Real Radio.
We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. What, church? Once for all. You are the temple of the living God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series that takes a look at a section in 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, where Paul reminds us that our bodies are temples for the Spirit of God, and that we, therefore, are not to defile them. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing now in his mini-series called Jesus Christ and His New Home.
Science means facts. And anybody who has had science in here, it's not only facts. What do you have to do regarding the claim that it's scientific? Yes, it's repeatable. You do it over and over again. That's how you know. It's amazing. Making good decisions. Make one decision after another for the Lord, with the Lord, in the Lord, and you'll get into a groove. You'll get into a path with Him. Human beings apart from God cannot understand the things of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. The Bible says this in verses 18 to 20, His children walk in wisdom. If anyone among you seems to be wise, listen to Paul, seems to be wise in this age. Don't we have a bunch of people running around saying, I'm wise. Let him become a fool that he may become wise. In other words, break away from human wisdom and get the wisdom of God. For the wisdom of this world's foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. Isn't that great? Somebody's spouting their mouth off about how they know everything about it. And God's going, oh yeah, watch this. It's great. And again, he says, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they're futile. Why? Because worldly wisdom's a joke. Well, everybody's doing it. Luke 7:35 is one of the most least quoted verses in all of the Bible. We need it today in our 21st culture. But wisdom is justified by all her children. Do you know what that verse means? Where wisdom is leading and guiding in the life of a believer, the decisions they make will back up the fact that they were led by God. Just wait and see. Well, why'd they do that? And why this? And how come this? And just wait and see. It's beautiful. Romans 12:16 says, do not be wise in your own opinion. J. Vernon McGee says this regarding that verse, if you're impressed with you, watch out for you. That's awesome. James 1:5 says, if any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Isn't that great? You want wisdom? Do you need wisdom? Who should you marry? What should you do? What school should you go to, if any? God, show me the way. Also, this verse 20 teaches us that his children live in holiness. His children live in holiness. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise that they're futile. And I'll just spend a second on this before we close out in the third point. In Hebrews 12:14, the Bible says, make every effort to live in peace with all men. Isn't that great? Now, that's hard to do in an age that demands a fight. I understand there was a group of people last Saturday standing out by the shops, and they had signs, and it said, God bless America, and people were driving by literally saying, and I won't repeat it, God blank America. They drive by on American soil, on an American street, with American freedoms, condemning America in our own town. Isn't that weird? I think that's weird. And the Bible tells us right here that God's kids walk in holiness and there is a peaceableness about them. It doesn't mean you don't stand for what you believe in. It doesn't mean that you don't stand for what is true. And you can stand with passion. But there's a peace with God and a confidence. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. I dwell with him who has a contrite, humble spirit." That's in the Old Testament. Does God dwell in your life?
Yes.
Todd knows this. You guys should have gotten it by now. God dwells in your life if you're a Christian. And God declares, "That's the high and holy place for me." I love that. 21 to 23. Your body is a forever house. It's a forever house because Christ Jesus has made you his new home. Because number one, because he, builds on eternity. Everything that's going on in your life is designed for eternity. Everything. Not one thing passes in your life that has something to do with eternity. Everything. He says, "Therefore, let no one boast in men." That's deception. That's the ultimate deception, is for you to boast in men. Only God can save us, and he builds upon eternity in our lives. And there's nothing that you can obtain from man that will have an eternal value outside the Word of God. All of the stuff of the Old Testament, I mean this with all reverence, but listen carefully. The temple, the priesthood, the prophets, the sacrifices, even the kings of Israel for themselves, all these things were weak accommodations for humanity. Even God said himself, they're all a shadow. They're all a forerunner. Did you know that? It's nothing. Can you imagine the temple of God being built in Jerusalem and down deep inside, the Lord looks at it with a half a smile on his face and says, "Well, that's nice." And everybody's impressed. Mount Sinai shakes with the presence of God and the children of Israel with Moses there. And God says, "Well, this is nice." Think about it. All of the grandeur of the Old Testament revelations. Ezekiel's vision of the wheel within the wheel spinning and the cherubim, each having six wings and four faces on one head. God says, "Well, yeah, that's nice." It was all pointing to the coming of Jesus Christ and his salvation and the indwelling of a believer. And if you really believe this, it would so radically change your life forever and whatever's going on in your life. You'll get over, by the power of God, the fact that you were abused as a child. You will get over the fact that your husband or wife is abusive. You'll get over, because he gives you the power to get over it. He gives you the strength to get over it. He gives you the value. He says, "I'm coming and I'm going to move inside of you." And he sets us free. And to settle for anything less, my friend, is to declare yourself and myself the victim. No more. I'm the victor through Christ. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is the absolute fact, and that is the truth, and the power of the Word of God in our lives. Don't for a moment, because we shortchange the Bible, we're so busy every day that we don't ingest it enough, we don't eat it enough, and then we think, "Well, you know, the Bible's not so powerful." Don't say that. God have mercy on you if you think that. This is the all-sufficient, all-powerful, eternal Word of God, and it has all power to change. It's my pathetic application of it that displays weakness. I'm passionate about this for these reasons. 1 John 5:11, "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and that his life is in his Son. He who has his Son has eternal life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Says the Bible. The Bible says in John 14:17, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Jesus said that. Paul is reminding the Corinthians that it's time for them to move on to this radical reality of Christ in you. This fact, this reality, I mean, it's the most challenging concept for humanity, let alone the Christian, to grasp. I got to tell you, I'll be honest with you right now. If I went to Israel right now and I told my Israeli friends, I'm not saying my friends, I'm saying Israelis on the streets. If I were to say to a Jew on the street, Messiah dwells in me, they will literally call the police. I am not kidding, and have me arrested or taken away as a lunatic, as someone insane. You know that's blasphemy to them? Oh no, we have to have a temple to meet God. And in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31, God says, I don't do that. It's passing away. I'm looking for a human to live in. And our Hindu friends or our Buddhist friends believe in all kinds of gods or strange God. And we've got the greatest news that if they were honest, they would wish that your message is real for them. They would love your message to be real for them. And the Bible says, if you do not have the Son, you do not have the Father. The Bible says God has a Son. And our Muslim friends deny. They say, listen, Jesus Christ cannot be the Son of God. They wish. I told you before, I had a Muslim student on Cal Poly Pomona's campus, and he said, in all honesty, it is true, your message is better than ours, if it were true. You see? Listen, your body is the forever house of God because, listen, he gives everything that we need to us. Verse 22 says, whether Paul, this is great. Remember a couple weeks ago they were arguing, I'm of Paul. And the other group was saying, I'm of Apollos. Listen to what Paul says. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, which is Peter, or the world or death or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. I love it. What are you guys bickering about? In Christ, everything's yours. You're free. Everything you and I need. Hebrews chapter 10, very quickly, Hebrews 10 verse 1, listen to this. For the law, that's the Ten Commandments, that's the Old Testament. For the law, being a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with the same sacrifices, which they offered continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect or forgiven. Therefore, verse 5, Christ came into the world, and he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Then he said, verse 9, behold, I come to you, I come to do your will, O God. So then, listen, he, God, takes away the first, that's the Old Testament, that he may establish the second, that's the new. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. What, church? Once for all. You are the temple of the living God. And finally here, verse 23, your body is a forever house of God because, listen, because he belongs to us. You say, Jack, don't you want to change that? No. Don't you want to say, because we belong to him? That's a given. Look at it. Because he belongs to us. Are you kidding me? This is the shockeroo of the universe. The eternal creator God of the universe allows himself. He gives himself that we would have him. He belongs to us. Remember I said how the Holy Spirit possesses us? Guess what? Listen to this. This is happy stuff. John 17, 23, Jesus is praying to his Father. Just before his death, he says, I in them and you in me, that they may be made complete in one.
Amen.
Listen, I encourage you to study the Old Testament, and every time the word sacrifice or temple or tabernacle pops up, look for yourself there. Hebrews 8:5 says those instructions given to Moses were a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. Hebrews 9, verse 8 says, now the Holy Spirit was indicating that the way into the Holy of Holies was not made manifest while the first tabernacle on earth was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time. Can someone say amen to that? But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Hebrews 9:22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Oh. Did anybody get that? This is Christianity. God dwells in you to transform you, for you to experience him. In 1 John 4, listen, everyone, I am so grateful that I don't have to make a pilgrimage to some place in the world to try to get close to my God. My friends, my Jewish friends, get as close to the Wailing Wall as they can, because it's as close as they can get to the old covenant. Whatever religion, whatever cult does their thing, they do their thing to get closer, to earn something. Sharia law demands that a Muslim make his way, her way to Mecca, to go around the Kaaba in Saudi Arabia. I don't have to do any of those things. My God's with me now. And when you leave today, he's going with you. And when I stay for second service, he stays with me. Why? Because the Bible says, listen, 1 John 4:15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Did you hear what I said a moment ago? In fact, we're out of time, but you guys go ahead and put up those two photographs here. And I want you to look at this. Anybody recognize that? Okay, you want to zoom in? Next slide. Leave it right there. I want you to look at that. It says, God does not have a son on here in Arabic. I want you to look at that. I want you to hear this. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us, for God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been completed, perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son denies the Father and does not have the Father. He who acknowledges the Son acknowledges the Father also. Is this awesome? All around that, it says God is not begotten, nor does God have a Son. Wow. Maybe the universe is at war because of human souls vacant, waiting to be inhabited by your Creator. And until that happens, you're just a shell. And that should not happen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Jesus Christ and His New Home. It's really a mini-series that takes a look at a section of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul reminds us that since we are believers, our bodies are temples for the Spirit of God. Again, that title, Jesus Christ and His New Home. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament book written by Paul. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, since it's Friday, it's time for another segment of Ask Pastor Jack here on Real Radio. If you've got a question for Pastor Jack, send it to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This one comes from Marvin. It's a pretty good question, Pastor Jack. During my devotion time one morning, says Marvin, the Lord spoke to me concerning my 5-year-old son. He told me to pray for my son because Satan was asking for him. I prayed for him for 5 days, and the Lord delivered my son from a potentially deadly situation. Now, my question is this, says Marvin. When Satan asks for people in the Bible, was he asking for them physically or spiritually? And should I still be worried about my son spiritually? Thank you for taking the time to answer my question. There you go. That comes from Marvin.
Well, Marvin, that's an awesome question. I actually think that you know the answer, but we're going to take this on anyway because, and I rejoice that you are spiritually sensitive. Number one, you should never stop praying for your child.
Right.
Satan hates your kid.
Yep.
And look, he wants to destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, listen, I don't believe Satan wants to go around killing kids. I don't think that's his first choice. I think his first choice is keep kids from coming to faith in Christ.
Right.
Okay? So you pray every day. Personally, this is personal now, but I want you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You tuck your kid into bed every night, and you let him hear you pray for him.
Right.
Okay? And don't do that until he leaves your home someday. The other thing is this. You fight for the faith of your child. You do everything possible. When you take your kid to a baseball game, you show him how God gave people the brains to make a ball round. You show him that
right.
Bugs live under rocks. God makes leaves. The sun was made by God. We're doing this right now with our grandchildren.
Yeah.
Everything is, who made that? Jesus!
Yeah, yeah.
Everything, constantly. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 6, when you wake up, when you go along the way, when you're in your house, and when you lie down at night, teach them the ways of the Lord. Never, never stop that, Marvin. Always do that. And always pray hard that God would protect them. Look, God gave you a call to pray specifically to protect your child against, you, as you mentioned, a threatening situation. That should encourage you to do the same. Keep it going. Because Satan, the last thing he would want is for your son, your children, to grow up and be faith-filled, spirit-dynamic believers affecting a culture. And so God bless you, Marvin. I hope every parent listening to this right now does the same. I can tell you that my daughters would say right here, right now, yep, that's what my dad did.
Yeah.
Up until the wedding night, my last night at home, my dad tucked me into bed at, 21 years of age.
Yeah.
And I heard him pray and I fell asleep to hearing him pray every night. So listen, do that and watch what God does.
What do you think of the concept? I'm going to throw this in there real quick, Pastor Jack. What do you think of the concept of praying for your kids' kids that aren't even born yet?
Yeah, absolutely.
Does God know who those people are?
Hey, he knows everything, right? And I think that's a great thing to do. I think every father who has had a daughter has prayed, God, whatever man there is in this world that she's going to marry, may he be a good guy.
Yeah.
You can't start too soon with that.
Yeah.
And so I believe if you pray for a baby while it's in the womb and you pray for it when it's young, why not just keep praying for everything else? I personally believe that I'm in the ministry based upon the effective prayers of a grandmother I had, which I only met once when I was a little guy, but
yeah.
She was a notorious prayer warrior, and I can't help but believe that, God heard her prayers.
Yeah,
so,
and,
yeah.
And he knew, God knew who she was talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ask Pastor Jack at realradioactive.org if you've got a question you'd like to ask Pastor Jack. Tell us who you are, tell us where you're from, and send the question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and
Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.